This is Phil Rowe.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Now, Stoke Brun is a small village in South Northamptonshire, 11 kilometres south of Northampton and an hour's drive from Cambridge, if the traffic allows. Last May, while I was in the area, I called in to the Canal Museum there. It's located next to the Grand Union Canal, just south of the Blisworth Tunnel. The Grand Union from London to Birmingham is a wide, easy-to-navigate canal, the motorway, if you like, of the waterways network, if you like, the M1. Because that also goes from London to Birmingham, of course. My guide for the morning was Catherine at Odington. I'm standing on the cut, otherwise known as the Grand Union Canal, the M1 of motorways linking London and Birmingham, much wider and straighter in places. I've got a drop where I am, and I'm at Stoke Brun, alongside the lovely Canal Museum, run and operated by the Canal and River Trust. With me is Catherine, one of the volunteers here today. It's a nice sunny day, and we're going to go for a little walk alongside the canal with Catherine.
Right, well, shall I tell you a little bit about the area we're in at the moment? We're just looking out now at a typical black and white lock, painted black and white because we've always painted them black and white. And the interesting thing is that the lock and all the lock furniture are grade 2 listed. So where else can you get to play with a grade 2 listed structure?
They're made of mighty oak as well, Catherine. Yeah. Do they still use that these days or is it now steel?
It's oak, but it's probably green oak, I think. And yes, they replace the gates about every 20-ish years. So then they're pretty expensive items to have to replace.
They look good at the moment. I'd imagine these have not been there that long. One set of locks here?
No, there are 7 locks going down to the River Tove. So we've it drops about 17 metres down to the Tove. And when they came out the top of here, this was the final frontier for going through Blisworth Tunnel and the completion of the Grand Junction Canal, as it was in those days. What we've got at the top lock is we've got a big brick house, and that was where Sister Mary, who was the nurse to the long-distance boatmen, lived. And they would come for days and days and days to be looked after by Sister Mary because they trusted Sister Mary. That's now an Indian restaurant, which I can highly recommend. And then next to it, we've got some lovely Northamptonshire stone cottages, of which I'm fortunate enough to own one. Then we've got the museum, which started off as a warehouse and then became a corn mill. And opposite is the Boat Inn. Boat Inn has been in the Woodward family since 1877. And they've got a trip boat outside called Indian Chief, which is named after their original coal boat.
So we're going to take a wander now along the line of beautiful narrow boats, all privately owned.
Apart from Sculptor, which is owned by the Canal and River Trust, it's a heritage boat, it's a former working boat, and it's coming up to 83 years old, and we still use it as often as we can. On our right here, we've got 4 poplar trees. There should be 5. In fact, there could even have been 6. One was killed by lightning, one was killed by a houseboat eating it, but there have been poplars here since time immemorial. So it's part of Stoke Brun's to have poplar trees here.
And as we walk past it, looks like what is a millstone, but possibly once was a horse trough for drinking from? No. Got that wrong? What was it for, Catherine?
We were the original sleepers for the Plate Railway, the first in Northamptonshire that went over Blisworth Hill before they finished building the tunnel.
Plate railways came before proper profiled tracks, before the Stevenson invention of proper bullhead type railway track.
So I'm not an expert in railways, but I believe it was called a plateway, and if I call it anything else, I get chastised for it. And on our left here, we've got Sculptor. She's a full-length boat, 71 foot 6 by 7 foot and 1 inch wide. And we take her out as often as we can. She was a fireboat during the war in London with 3 750-gallon per hour pumps on it. And that was to provide water to London Fire Brigade if they couldn't get water out of the Thames. And she was based at Greenford. And then after that, she became a maintenance boat on the Shropshire Union at Penderford and came to Stoke Brun in 1986. And has been here ever since and is really part of Stoke Brun now.
Registered at Birmingham. All the boats that are in private ownership have a point of registration, a bit like ships, I suppose, in international waters.
Yes, they have a point of registration, and that's a health registration to make certain that they were fit for people to be on. And in fact, Sculptor's health registration document says 2 adults and 3 children. If there was a daughter who was more than 12, she had to have some sort of protection from the younger boys in the family. But they would sometimes move children around between boats because there were huge families who were involved in boating. So you could transfer a child from one boat to the other and see it 3 months later. In front of us on the towpath is some bricks that are coming across at an angle. They're there to represent the entrance to an old dock. And the dock was on the museum green, where boats would come and discharge into the corn mill. And they had to be brought off the line of the canal. And that was filled in 1914, because they filled it in with the chimney to the mill, which is no longer there, of course, now. And then they filled the whole thing in a bit later. But we've got the bricks going across the canal just to represent what was the entrance into the old dock.
What I like about the canals as well, people trade from their narrow boats. In front of us is the cheese boat.
Yes, and you can get some jolly good cheese from the cheese boat.
Do they make it on board?
I'm afraid they import it from Wales.
Oh, well. It's nice to think that there probably wouldn't be any goats down there in the galley. But there's some people mooring up further down. I have seen only a few leisure boats today. When was the last commercial traffic through here?
Well, there's still commercial traffic. We still have coal boats come through occasionally, not carrying loose coal, but carrying bagged coal. And I have friends at the Lower Lock who have a motorboat and what's called a butty, an unpowered boat, and they dispense coal and diesel. And there's another one, part of the same organisation, that will be here probably on Friday or later this afternoon, and he'll come down and service the trip boats and other people that want coal and diesel. So it's still there, but the really last heavy commercial traffic was probably in the winter of 62-3, the very bad winter, and that's what really killed it off.
Were there still icebreakers at work on the canal at that time? Today we had the beast from the east this last winter. Still wasn't enough to freeze our inland waterways. We have to think about severe weather over the years, and that was one particularly bad winter for us. Icebreakers had to work, didn't they, to cut open the canals from fairly solid sheet ice on top.
They did. They had special boats, and they were called icebreakers, and if you saw people working them, health and safety would have the most appalling heart attack, because they would hang on to a central bar and lean out and rock the boat backwards and forwards. But luckily, we haven't had it that bad for a while.
I don't think we'd cope with it today if it happened now. You just have to wait for it all thaw out.
Well, indeed. There's an interesting boat opposite us now called Jubilee. And Jubilee was originally Leo. And Leo was a horseboat built in 1929. It then became a trip boat up at Weston on the Trent and Mersey. And then it was bought by my friend Mike, who traded coal on it for a number of years. And he's now converted it back into a boat to live on. It had an engine put in it in probably the 30s or something like that, to make it more presentable. And of course, once they started knowing a bit more about diesel engines, it was easier than having a horse.
I ask this next question because I know that in some caravans and caravan sites, especially resorts by the sea, you have to vacate during the winter. It's one of the clauses. You can't live in them around the year, 365 days. But can these owners live in their boats right across the year?
They can, and they do, yes. And it's a good thing because it brings a bit of interest to everything that's going on. Yeah, it makes it into a kind of villagey atmosphere. It's lovely.
They pay a licence.
They pay a licence, not a cheap licence. For a 70-foot boat, it's probably £1,200-1,300 a year. But they get lots of facilities added in for that. You can go and go to what they call a sanitary station and get rid of all the bits and pieces. But being on a boat is like running a village. Have you got enough gas? Have you got enough water? Can you heat it? Can you get rid of what you need to get rid of? And so it's, you know, like running your own little village in one place.
Kind of the convenience of Stoke Bruin here, though, because they have got water points that they could either move to or maybe take their water bowsers down to from a day-to-day point of view and go to that legendary, what all boaters know as, a pump out.
A pump out, that's quite correct. Although there is a huge debate always about whether you should have a pump out or a cassette type loo, and now they're moving into composting loos and things like that. There's always going to be a debate.
All the mod cons here as well. You can see that they've got their TV aerials, their satellite dishes. Presumably they're using 3G, 4G nowadays, and they've probably got a laptop on board.
I'm absolutely sure. Certainly when I had my boat, it had all those facilities.
I wonder if people work from their boat these days, run businesses. It must be nice in the summer months, though. Perhaps a little harsh in the winter months. Did you always find your boat cosy when it was cold?
I found it beautifully warm and lovely. And yes, you can work from a boat, especially if you're kind of internet-based business. No problem at all. Works very, very well. And you can move. You don't have to have the same neighbours all the time.
That's true. Do people here generally tend to be moored up for most of the year or permanently?
There are some people who have permanent moorings, and there are others who come and they can be here for a winter. They can get a winter mooring and they'd be here from the end of October to the end of March. But other than that, it's 14 days during the winter. And in Stoke Bruin itself, it's 2 days during the summer to get the turn and the turnover.
We'll bring you more of The Walk with Catherine Durdington in part two in a few weeks' time. And a lot of people have enjoyed that this morning. If you fancy a day out in the summer into Northamptonshire, take a stop at the pretty little village of Stoke Bruin and you can see what I saw. The museum there is housed in a restored corn mill at the top of a flight of canal locks and is one of several museums and attractions operated by the Canal and River Trust, the successor to the Waterways Trust. And we will be back there on the canal, the Grand Union Canal, soon.